Hi, I'm Hillary Walsh, a serial entrepreneur, award-winning immigration lawyer, law professor, TEDx speaker, and raving Phoenix Suns fan. Over the past decade, I've helped thousands of immigrants live free in the United States. I'm talking work permits, social security numbers, green cards, their citizenship, VAWA, T visa, U visa, and lots of successful appeals. Here's the thing. Immigration law is super complicated, and legal advice, well, it can be pretty expensive. So I created the Immigration Law Made Easy podcast to share my 10 plus years of experience with you for free. So if you're looking for tried and true, no BS, step-by-step strategies and tips on how to win your immigration case and live truly free in the United States, you're in the right place, my friend. Let's get started. I'm so excited to talk to you today about VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act. It's a way that you can, if you've experienced extreme cruelty or battery in the United States, it's a way for you to be able to sometimes fix your status without leaving the country. And in other cases, it's a way for you to get your work permit and your social security number here in the U.S. again without leaving the country. And if you are in a foreign country, you're also able to apply for VAWA and kind of go through the consular process that way. So it's a really amazing tool. We practice extensively in my law firm in VAWA. It's something that I absolutely love. I'm very, very passionate about. I, as you probably know so far, am not a always politically correct person. Not in a sense of trying to be ignorant or dismissive of political correctness. I think that it absolutely has a place. I also live in the real world where, please hear what I'm saying. When we talk about VAWA, this can be a very sensitive issue for people, and it should be. It's about a very sensitive topic. But we live in the real world where domestic violence, where extreme cruelty, where, you know, being very unkind to family members behind closed doors is something that is extremely common. And just because you don't have maybe personal experience with it doesn't mean that it's not happening. So I talk very candidly in this episode about VAWA, and I might talk about it in a way that you think is just so relaxed, and maybe I use terms that you don't like, that are bothersome to you because it's too chill or too maybe too judgmental, even though I certainly don't mean to ever judge anybody for any of their behaviors. What I want to ask you to do is listen for the takeaway. I'm not going to say everything perfectly, but that isn't going to stop me from putting out this message because I believe in VAWA. I believe that it is helping transform so many people's lives. And at the end of the day, if you believe, that families belong together, then we need to look seriously at the family dynamic of what undocumented, really mixed status families, undocumented people, immigrants in this country, what they're going through on a daily basis, and have frank conversations with ourselves. And if you're an immigration attorney, with your clients, and if you're an American first-gen kid, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, have I done this? Has this been something that I have done? And if so, I want to figure out a way to perhaps help support my parents in getting their papers. Or if I'm a spouse, is this something that I have done so I can hopefully help get my spouse their papers? Because I believe in keeping families together. So I hope this is a helpful message for you. Again, please hear my message. I don't always use the perfect words, but I love you and I love VAWA. Enjoy. I'm so excited to talk to you today about VAWA. VAWA stands for the Violence Against Women Act, but it doesn't actually require violence like you and I would think about it, and it doesn't have to be against women. So the name of it can be kind of confusing. This is really a conversation about what VAWA is, why it's important, and who can benefit from it, and kind of what are the next steps about it. So that's like the four parts that we'll talk about today. So let's get started. Who needs VAWA? Who does VAWA benefit? So VAWA is going to benefit you if you are in the United States Or in a foreign country, but we'll start first with people who are in the United States who've been told that, I'm sorry, I see that you have a US citizen child over the age of 21, but unfortunately, because you entered the country without permission, the only way for you to fix your status is if you leave and you stay out of the country for 10 years because you're not eligible for a pardon waiver. So you need to leave the country for 10 years and then your US citizen child, their petition for you can work. So VAWA helps people who are in that situation. If you are in Mexico, Mexico is so common for us because it's one of our main client bases, but if you are in a foreign country and you experienced battery or extreme cruelty in the United States from a certain family member, and we're going to talk about who those family members are. But if you experience that here in the United States, or a combination of in your home country and the United States, so let's say in Mexico and the United States, you may be able to get a green card through that relationship, through that cruelty or battery that you experienced. And then last but not least is someone who perhaps you've been told that you have the permanent bar and you were coming and going because of the extreme cruelty you were experiencing from either your US citizen spouse or your lawful permanent resident parent, your citizen parent, or your child. Maybe you were coming and going without permission because of that. And so ordinarily we would say you have the permanent bar, and the only way for you to fix that is if you spend 10 years again outside the United States and kind of endure that, what is very commonly called a punishment. With VAWA, you're able to overcome the permanent bar in certain circumstances. So, again, these are all ways to help you. The other person who this can really benefit is if your family member who could petition for you is refusing to do so. So, this is something we see all the time where an American spouse refuses to petition for her immigrant husband, and he entered with a visa. He's eligible to adjust his status. He just needs the qualifying family member to go ahead and file the petition already, and then she or he won't do that, which keeps the immigrant without papers, because if you don't have ordinarily, you can't petition for yourself. There's no self-petition process outside of something like VAWA, a U visa, or a T visa. And of course, we're going to talk about VAWA here today. So those are the main people who really can benefit from VAWA, who their life will be totally different if they're able to get a green card or at least a work permit and social security number through VAWA. So if that might be you, you are thinking this might sound like it applies to me. If you're a US citizen over the age of 21 and your mom or dad, perhaps they're undocumented or they don't have their papers or whatever however you want to phrase it is comfortable for you. This might be a great conversation for you to tune into because we all know when we have been extremely cruel to our family members. None of us like to really reflect on it and think about it because there are things that perhaps we're not proud of. But if it is something it's happened for you, you've been extremely cruel to your parents, who are undocumented, this might be a great way to help take something difficult and sad that perhaps even though you're not proud of it, it may be something that is actually going to pave a path forward for them so they can get their papers and live free in the United States and be able to travel to their home country freely because they'll get a green card. Okay, so that's who needs VAWA. Let's talk about what VAWA is. VAWA stands, as I mentioned, for the Violence Against Women Act. And back when Joe Biden, President Biden, had a full head of hair mostly, VAWA was passed. It was in the early 90s. And it was because there was a lot of violence, literally, against women. There still is. It's been a, centuries, old issue. There's still a lot of violence against women, but they passed this act and they also included a provision to help protect immigrant women who'd been experiencing a lot of domestic violence. Later, this was expanded to also include protection of men who were experiencing some type of extreme cruelty or battery, usually from an immediate partner, like an intimate partner or a child or a parent, so an immediate family member. So that's what VAWA is. Now, the name, again, I want to reiterate, is very misleading. So violence makes it seem like it is violent. When I think of violence, because I grew up in a family where violence was like, you know, very physical. I think of the word violence, very physical. And, you know, I think all of us can really start thinking about what we think violence is. And we need to get that. The first thing I want to do is challenge that belief, whatever comes to mind when you think, oh, VAWA means for people who've been beat up. Or if you don't have a black eye, which I've heard people say, if I don't have a black eye and I don't have a picture of it, I'm not getting VAWA. Or I've heard other people at different organizations who say that if there wasn't physical abuse, literally abuse, then we don't file for VAWA. And that's not what VAWA stands for. And it's very frustrating for me. So I'm going to get a little bit on a soapbox about that. But here's what VAWA requires. You have to have experienced battery or extreme cruelty. That's the air quote violence. Battery or extreme cruelty. Let me pull apart what both of those things are in just a moment. I want to give the other things to help you if you're going to qualify for VAWA. You've experienced battery or extreme cruelty, and you're a person of good moral character. Those are the three main things. And then you also have to, of course, be admissible. So, you know, you can't have certain convictions. And if you have inadmissibility issues like the permanent bar, those are going to be hurdles that we have to overcome in order for you to get your green card through VAWA. But in terms of getting VAWA protection, which is you're not going to be eligible to be removed. So you kind of have that, don't touch that. You can't touch this all around you because you're protected through deferred action through VAWA, which is fancy speak for ICE cannot deport you while you have VAWA. So you have a work permit, you get a social security number, and you can't be deported. That's what VAWA gets you. And it also, depending on what your circumstances are, can forgive an unlawful entry. So if you entered walking to the United States, you have a child, that child turns 21, that child is extremely cruel to you, you're a person of good moral character, we would file, hypothetical person, of course, not giving actual legal advice, this is a podcast conversation, we would file an I-360 for you along with an I-485, which is a green card application. We would call that a one-step VAWA application or a VAWA AOS. Because you're eligible for a green card other than you entered EWI. So the VAWA forgives the fact that you entered EWI, that you entered without inspection. It forgives that legal mistake that you made or decision that was made perhaps for you. Like if you're a kid and you were brought to the United States, it's not that you made the mistake or that really, you know, anything else. It's simply that you're here. You entered without inspection. How do we fix that? And VAWA helps cure that legal issue. Okay. Let's talk about what battery is and let's talk about what extreme cruelty is. And I just want to say, just to kind of take a step back, when I talk about this as like entering without inspection as a mistake or as a legal error, this is not me casting any judgment on those things, whether you made the decision or whether your family made the decision or whether your, you know, uncle made the decision for you to be brought to the United States or for you to enter without inspection. It is an issue that must be overcome in order for you to fix here in the United States. It's an issue that has to be overcome in order for you to get a green card. So when I refer to it, those things, I really want to make sure that they sound judgmental and that's not me. So I want to kind of just take a beat and make sure that we're on the same page. There's no judgment there, but there is a hurdle that must be overcome. So I think that's a more accurate representation and how I want to show up for you in this podcast. So forgive me for kind of making that misstep. Okay, onward. What is battery and what is extreme cruelty? So battery is a legal definition, and it's going to depend on what state you're in. Interestingly, in Arizona, where I'm currently located, there's no definition for battery. They just don't have it as a criminal statute. By contrast, I'm licensed to practice law. Like I got my law license from Nevada. That's where I went to law school. Shout out to Boyd School of Law. And in Nevada, we all remember anytime you talk to a lawyer, if there's a definition for battery, it's always going to be on the bar exam. And so you can memorize it and say it cold. But battery is the harmful or offensive touching of another. Harmful or offensive touching of another. So there has to be some type of physical contact that is harmful or offensive to the other person. This might sound like violence, where we're talking about, like, if you don't have a black eye, you don't qualify for VAWA. But let me give you an example. And we learned this in law school. So I love that I was not really paying attention in this class in particular, but yet I use this example all the time when I'm talking to people about VAWA. If I am in my car and you walk up, and let's say there's some road rage issue going on or something like that, and you smack the hood of my car and you make a mean, angry gesture at me, that could be considered battery because your car is an extension of you under Nevada law for battery. So if you walk up and smack my car, this is harmful or offensive touching of another. And you would qualify for VAWA because of this smacking of the car. No black eyes involved, no physical contact directly with me involved. So this is where an attorney can really help you use the definition of battery to your advantage if you're seeking to qualify for VAWA. This is just what lawyers must do. So harmful or offensive touching of another. Harmful or offensive touching of another. That's the main definition of battery. So if you haven't experienced battery, perhaps you've experienced extreme cruelty. Now, extreme cruelty is a legal term, but it's something that is subjectively measured. So what I would consider extreme cruelty, because of my life experience and what I have gone through and what my culture's norms are, it's going to be different than what you have experienced and what you find to be extremely cruel. So for example, I'll use my mom as an example, kind of a made up hypothetical, but my mom is a very devout Christian. And so if you say something to my mom that is very negative about Jesus, it would be extremely cruel to my mom. And not that this qualifies as extreme cruelty for VAWA. I'm just giving you a frame of reference of, if you say something really mean to me about Jesus, like, I don't think that's cool, but I'm not going to get really hot and bothered about it. Like, that's, you can say what you want. I'm just not going to be bothered by it. Like, whatever. My mom, it would pierce her heart if you say something about Jesus to her. Okay. I give this example to say different things can be said to different people and they land on them totally differently. So if I have been abused as a child, which I have been, and later in my adult life, and this has not happened, I'm just using this part as an example. Hope I don't confuse you. Let's say that I have someone who leers at me. They come at me. Because I have been hit before, I'm going to wince, and that's going to cause me to be very fearful because I have been hit before. Now, if someone does that and they know, like, let's say this is my adult child. Let's say I have a 21-year-old kid, American child, who knows that I was beat up as a kid by my parents, and that every time they make an aggressive motion toward me, they see me flinch and cower, and then they laugh at me. And maybe they make fun of the fact that I'm so scared of them. That's extremely cruel. And I think that with a psychologist's diagnosis, you can, you know, and I'm just using this as a hypothetical. This is something that I would absolutely, as an attorney, build on and build on and build on. Just that one thing. When I see that U.S. citizen children are doing this to their parent, I know that there are other things. It's not just that they leer at them and laugh at them for, you know, flinching because they think that they're going to hit them. There are many other things going on. And a lot of times I see that financial control is something that's going on, whether that's from your spouse or from your child. I see that financial control coupled with like weird threatening behavior or, you know, unfortunate threatening behavior, both of those things coupled together are super common. Let me give you an example. If a US citizen woman is married to, let's say he's a Mexican man, and she gets mad at him, they're driving along, gets mad at him, tells him to get out of the car, walk home, throws him out of the car. It's 115 degrees in Phoenix and makes him walk home. When he gets home, she says, I want to see, I need the cash that you earned today. Give me the money that you earned today while you were at work. And then he has to give her the cash because she says she needs to pay the bills and those types of things. All the bills are kept in her name. So she needs to get them paid, but then she keeps the rest. There's never any money that's returned. These types of things, when we start to see this type of pattern showing up, there are other things that are going on in that marriage. And you'll notice that none of this is the American wife hitting anybody. No one is punching, smacking, clawing, or anything like that in these two examples. The real icing on the cake when we have this type of thing is usually the American spouse or the American child over the age of 21 will say things like, if you don't do whatever, if you don't do this, I'm not going to petition for you. Or if you don't do this, I'm going to call ICE on you. And when ICE is here, I don't really know, or the police, I really don't know what they're going to say. Those types of things are what form extreme cruelty for USCIS purposes. But you'll notice that it perhaps when we first had started having this conversation about extreme cruelty, we still think in terms of violence, but that really overlooks the psychology and the emotional and mental experience that humans have. So if someone is abused as a child, they have experienced trauma, their brain is totally altered. It's really wild how our brains are totally altered. And then that those traumas can be relived, physically relived as an adult, like throughout your life, if you're not able to heal it, like physically heal, like through whatever therapy you need to go through. Those are re-experienced. And so what I do as an immigration attorney who works in the space of VAWA a ton is I work to see where have you experienced trauma in your life before and where is it showing up again now? Because it's going to be amplified now. And we explore those spaces to show that this person is experiencing extreme cruelty. So I hope that these are helpful examples for you. And then when we talk about, so you have to have experienced battery or extreme cruelty, you do not have to have experienced both. So a common example of people who've experienced both. I was in an argument with I'm the immigrant in this scenario. I was in an argument with my wife. She's an American. And she threw the TV remote at me, or she threw her glass at me and it hit the wall. She called me bad names and made fun of my English and told me that she was never going to petition for me, that I was just marrying her for this reason, and that if I didn't watch out, I was going to get deported and I would never get to see our kids again. Those are the types of combo battery and extreme cruelty that we see that never actually leave a mark, but the person is so physically traumatized by it. You will never forget that argument, even if it was just one argument. You will never forget that argument because it was so extremely cruel. Okay. To qualify for VAWA, you also have to be a person of good moral character. So good moral character is it's a discretionary decision. It basically means that if it smells funky, then USCIS is going to deny it. But if it smells right, if it smells like chicken, it is chicken. So if you are a good person, and the way Uncle Sam loves to see if you are a person of good moral character is, are you filing your taxes? Are you supporting your community somehow? So if you have community service or you're involved in your church or anything like that, that's an important consideration for good moral character. And what is your criminal history? So if you have any criminal history, this is where as an attorney, you need to be able to, or if you're advocating for yourself, you need to be able to explain it, assuming that this isn't something that makes you, you know, base in the good moral character is just for a very set period of time. It's not for forever. But if you have, let's say, a bad domestic violence charge from 15 years ago, I think it's still important as an attorney to explain what happened, because USCIS is going to be able to see it. And whether or not they say they're taking it into account, once you see it, the mind knows. And so it colors the way we view someone if we know that 15 years ago they had a domestic violence conviction, and that now they're claiming that they are experiencing domestic violence and that they're a person of good moral character. You know, we want to make sure to offset and explain things that might impact the USCIS officer's view of how this case, I'm using the word smell, but like how it hits them, you know, how it lands on their mind. What is the big takeaway for them? So that's being a person of good moral character. Now, in order for you to get your green card, you do need to be admissible to the United States. This is the green card component. So if you prove those things, then you're eligible for VAWA. And, you know, there's a very high probability of getting an approval, because the approval rating, statistically speaking, is very high with USCIS. In order for you to get your green card, you can't have the 3 or the 10-year bar or the permanent bar unless you file a waiver for one or all of them. It's totally complicated. The benefit there, I will say, is that with a regular 3 or 10-year waiver, 3 or 10-year bar waiver, unlawful presence waiver, you need to show that, you know, your qualifying relative is going to experience hardship if it's not approved. Then the advantageous thing, or the beneficial thing in the context of VAWA, is that you are the qualifying relative. So the person who's experienced the extreme cruelty or the battery, the person who's applying for the green card through VAWA, the undocumented person, or your mom or dad or your spouse, whoever you're thinking about, we have to show that they will experience hardship if this waiver isn't approved. This is really helpful for people in a situation like, I'll use a specific example. Let's say my name is Maria. I'm from Mexico. I came to the United States in 1998. I had my daughter. She's an American. And after I had her, I had been here for about a year, just under a year, like 9 months. And then I left and I re-entered illegally, both times I was walking without permission. That person does not have the permanent bar, but does have the 10-year bar. And so if we're filing before that 10 years has lapsed, we may need a 10-year bar unlawful presence waiver. So if we were filing this, and, you know, we got to think about when my facts don't really add up here, because now USCIS has fortunately changed its policy where the 10-year bar can run whether you're in your home country or in the United States. So these fact patterns are fortunately going to become fewer and fewer, but I think a marriage might make more sense if you were filing for VAWA based on your marriage. But play along with me for the sake of the example. But if you are in that situation, you would file a waiver and you would be the qualifying relative, where outside of the VAWA context, you would need your kid. Is your only immediate family member who has status, but kids usually can't be, they never can be a qualifying relative for our waiver purposes. Let's go through some examples. Well, and first, I really should tell you, through our examples, I'm going to go through this. But one of the factors that I haven't mentioned yet is exactly who can be, I call them the bad guy in your situation. Who can be the person who's causing me, the immigrant, the battery or extreme cruelty? Maybe I'm experiencing a lot of battery and extreme cruelty from a lot of people in my family, but only certain people can be the bad guy in the story in order for you to qualify for VAWA. And that's going to be your spouse, who's a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident. It can be your ex. So let's say you've been divorced, and I'm talking, you have to be legally married This is so important because it gets really into some gray areas. It's so common for couples to have lived together for a very, 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 very long time and never have formally gotten married. That'll work if your state recognizes, if your state recognizes common law marriage. So Texas is one of those states where they recognize common law marriage. Arizona does not recognize common law marriage. So if you have lived forever and ever with your spouse here in your U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse here in Arizona, there's no common law marriage. You would have to be legally married to that person and also then experience battery and extreme cruelty at their hands in order for you to qualify for VAWA. Like all of the pieces of the puzzle have to be clicked together at the same time. I'm married. That person is a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident while we're married. And while we're married and they're a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident, I experience extreme cruelty or battery from them. And I'm a good person. I'm a person of good moral character. So sometimes what trips people up is they experience extreme cruelty from their spouse, but then their spouse divorces them and later becomes a lawful permanent resident. All the pieces I'm using, I don't know if you're seeing this on video, if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple, but I'm like putting my hands together in the sense of truly all pieces of the puzzle must be here in order for the picture to form. So in that situation, unfortunately, you wouldn't qualify for VAWA, even though your ex later became a lawful permanent resident, because at the time of your marriage, while you were married, and while the cruelty was going on, your partner had, your spouse had no status. So they weren't a lawful permanent resident then. They became a lawful permanent resident after you got divorced and presumably quit experiencing the extreme cruelty or the battery. Let me spin off on this. Let me spin a little bit on this hypothetical, though, this example, because let's try it again. I am married to someone who's undocumented, they don't have status right now, and I experience extreme cruelty or battery from them. We separate and they become a lawful permanent resident and they continue to be extremely cruel to me. Maybe it's through nasty threats, text messages, keeping control of your finances, stalking you, coming to your home and scaring you, making you live in terror. Those types of things. I would argue that that still qualifies because you have not gotten divorced. Your partner now has is a lawful permanent resident. We just have to make sure that you're experiencing what qualifies to USCIS as battery or extreme cruelty and that you're a good person. We have all of those things, the recipe, like we've got all the things in the pot together. We stir them all up and everything works. All the pieces of the puzzle click together at that point. Again, it is a case-by-case determination on whether you've experienced battery or whether you've experienced extreme cruelty. But the components of, you know, if I've just separated from my spouse, that's not a divorce. You got to be legally married or legally divorced to either begin being eligible for VAWA or to end being eligible for VAWA. Now, speaking of which, USCIS, like the statute says that you have to file for VAWA within 2 years of your divorce. So you have some time. Like if you experience extreme cruelty from your US citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse, and then you get divorced, let's say on September 2022, that's this month, you have 2 years to file for VAWA based on your experience while you were married, even though you're now no longer married. It's 2 years from the date of divorce, not from the date of filing or from the date you separated. It's 2 years from the date of the divorce. Like, you know, it's a stamp sound for me, apparently, from when you actually got divorced. When it's stamped on the paper, it says divorce decree. Now, USCIS, so there says there's no way to extend that and show that, well, there were these extenuating circumstances. I should be able to go even beyond that 2 years. USCIS has said, no, you cannot argue that. So in lawyer speak, we call that equitable tolling. So annoying. All these phrases we have to learn to kind of follow what the law is, because so much of American law came from Old England, Merry Old England. And so they have these like very proper phrases that we don't use today, other than in the law. But this is called equitable tolling. When we say, I know that there's a deadline, but there's a really good reason I didn't meet this deadline. See, that's called equitable tolling in lawyer speak. USCIS says you can't do that, that the statute says 2 years has got to be 2 years. But I disagree. And I think that a lot of other advocates are with me on this, that this is something that we need to push back on and that I have pushed back on a lot. And it remains to be seen how it's going to go. But in any event, there's a district court case that says that you can file after that 2 years. So I'm going with that. And I'm going to ride that horse, hopefully, to the victory finish line. So that's 2 years from your divorce. What about legal marriages? We talked about common law. We know that if you have just been living together and you've not formally married outside of states where you don't have common law, it's not going to fly. But if you later, there's another kind of wrinkle here for marriages, where if you thought that you were married to the person, but they had kind of tricked you and they were actually married to someone else at the time of your marriage, which invalidates your marriage because you can't legally marry two people at the same time. I'll use an example. If I marry, I'll use my husband's name, Sean. I tell Sean, hey, let's get married. We're going to get married. Sean marries me. Sean is an immigrant in this scenario. And then he later finds out that I'm married to John as well. And my marriage with John was never properly terminated. And that I had basically been tricking Sean. So Sean could still claim VAWA, even though our marriage is not legal because of the trickery. It's not a proper legal term, but you get the idea. So if something like that has happened to you or your family member, this is a great conversation to have with a lawyer and say, I had previously been told that because I didn't experience this extreme cruelty or this battery, because we from my husband or from my wife, who's a US citizen or lawful permanent resident, that it didn't qualify because our marriage was not legal. There was some type of legal snag because he or she was married legally to somebody else. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's a specific section in the Immigration and Nationality Act that is designed for you. So visit with a lawyer or do some digging. The ILRC, Immigration Legal Resource Center, has a wonderful book on VAWA. It has a lot of resources in there specifically on this, should that be something you want to kind of investigate more. Okay. So we've covered spouses, exes. I should also mention that if your spouse dies, your abusive spouse dies within 2 years, you have to file within 2 years of their death. Again, I think that you could argue equitable tolling. Do not play. This is like those car commercials where they're like swerving around really fast and it says like, don't try this at home. This is a professional driver. I would say do not argue equitable tolling at home. Definitely use someone who's experienced, and even that with that you have to do so with proper guidance and advice because it's an uncharted territory. Okay. Your children. So, or if you're a child, an American child of an undocumented person or an immigrant who you're trying to help them get their green card, this might be you. So, American sons or daughters can be the air quote bad guy in this scenario. So, if you've experienced extreme cruelty from your American son or daughter, and in immigration law, son or daughter means 21 years or older. That's why we don't say child. Even though it is obviously your child, I'll use myself for example. I have four kids. They're all very little, 9 years old and under. They would be, in immigration law, considered my US citizen children. But as soon as one of them turns 21, let's say my 21-year-old daughter, I guess I, since I have twins, it will be my 21-year-old twin daughters, they would go from being my child to my daughter, because in immigration law, we call kids over 21, sons or daughters instead of children. Okay. So if you have an American son or daughter 21 years or older who's been extremely cruel to you or committed battery against you, and you're a person of good moral character, then you can qualify. You are eligible for VAWA. I'm not saying you're going to win VAWA. I'm just letting you know that you check all the boxes and now you need to go seek out a professional or do a lot of digging on your own to really get in there and prove your VAWA case. But this should hopefully be really good news for you. And if that is the situation that I'm, and that's your situation, I'm guessing you've probably talked to a lawyer before and the lawyer told you, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry, sir, because you entered the United States walking, there's no, and you, I know you have a 21-year-old son or daughter who's an American because you had them when you were here, but I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to ever fix your status unless you spend 10 years outside the country. Let me just kind of blow that scenario up, because if that U.S. citizen son or daughter has has given you extreme cruelty, has treated you with extreme cruelty or battery, then VAWA forgives that unlawful entry. VAWA covers that up and it's as if you entered the U.S. lawfully, okay? So anyone who's ever told you you have a U.S. citizen son or daughter over the age of 21, yet you have to spend 10 years outside the United States in order to fix, my question would be, did they talk to you about VAWA? Because if they didn't, then they're missing something. Let's go back into the drawing board and see what else we have. And so immigration lawyers who are listening, this is a really important conversation to start having with your clients, every single client. I mean, part of our ethical obligation is to let people know what all of their options are. It is uncomfortable sometimes to explain to people what their options are and what extreme cruelty is. And no parent likes to rat their kid out. I promise. It is so hard. I mean, I blame, like when I think about times when my kids have been, you know, they're very little, so they can't be that mean yet. But when they have said things like just yesterday after dinner, my 9-year-old shouted at me across the kitchen table, and I don't love you either, because I would not let her use her sibling's tablet. So I know she didn't mean it, but kids say some really mean things to us as parents sometimes. I remember times when I have said really awful and done really awful things to my parents that I'm not proud of. But lawyers, friends, listeners, when this happens, this is not the time for judgment. This is the time to embrace our humanity and that we all need grace. And sometimes this is the opportunity to provide that grace and to say, Mom, Dad, I found out, I listened to this podcast by this immigration attorney, and she talked about if, you know, your U.S. citizen son or daughter's ever threatened to call ICE on you, that might actually be something that can help you get your green card. And I know that I've done that. So I want to honor you by letting you know that this is an option for you. Even though I'm not proud of it, I still want to let you know about it. And the same for spouses. We say the worst things to the people we love the most. We are the worst to the people who we love the most and rely and trust the most. Unfortunately, it's part of the human condition. But that doesn't mean that we don't talk about it or that we don't do something about it. We can use these painful experiences to pave a path forward that's very beautiful for our whole family. The phoenix is really cool because out of the ashes it rises. I'm in Phoenix, so I love that. And it really is like when you see a flower blooming through rock. This is what VAWA represents to me, because it is from a hard place can grow something beautiful. From a hard, hard place within your family unit, the things that go on behind closed doors that you don't want anybody else to know about and that you wish would just go away, those things can still make something beautiful. I love it. I think it's such a really cool tool to use. So immigration lawyers, I encourage you to get very comfortable and passionate about VAWA. Let's go back to our qualifying air quote bad guys. I use that term just because it's easiest. So don't feel judged if you're the air quote bad guy in the story. It's just the easiest way to explain it because we're using a lot of he's and she's and USC's and LPRs and all that. Stepchildren can also be qualifiers for air quote bad guys. Okay. So if you're a US citizen stepchild over the age of 21 and you've been extremely cruel to your stepparent, then that could qualify as well. So there are some kind of like nuances there that are important. And then, of course, the question then becomes, well, what happens if I've divorced the parent who created the stepchild relationship? It's a complicated analysis. It really depends state by state. You need to talk to an experienced lawyer about this because it will hurt my little brain will explode if I try to go through every single state and explain who qualifies and doesn't after divorce. And it really is a specific thing that an attorney needs to help you with. So if you're looking at stepchild, but I'm divorced, et cetera, call your lawyer. Okay. Children can also qualify for VAWA. So if your parent has status and they have been extremely cruel to you as a kid, you have to be, the only kicker here is you have to be 21 or younger at the time you file for VAWA. Except if one of the central reasons for late filing, for filing after the time you turn 21, was due to the extreme cruelty or battery. And in that case, you have until you're 25. So really when people come in and they're like, I don't have status, but my parent has status, I give them a look and try to figure out, are you 25 or younger? And of course, then ask, are you 25 or younger? Because if you are, we got to have a quick conversation about that to see if you qualify. So children can also qualify for VAWA through their parent in certain circumstances. So mostly before the age of 25, okay? Let me get into some frequently asked questions before we wrap up our little date here with VAWA. One of the most common questions I get is, what kind of evidence do I need to submit? How can I prove that I've been, that I've experienced extreme cruelty or battery? And the most common evidence we submit is what's called a declaration. It's really your written story told in the context of what the elements of VAWA are. So battery, extreme cruelty, good moral character from a qualifying person. So I experienced financial abuse from my US citizen wife. And then we talk about how US citizen wife makes me give all my money. She gives me an allowance. If I don't make enough money, then she doesn't let me eat. She controls all of our finances. She won't let me put my name on the bank account. She doesn't give me one of the debit cards, so I have no access to money. Or she has my paycheck deposited into an account that I can't, like an auto payment deposit into an account I can't access. And then when I need money, I have to ask her for it. And sometimes she allows it and sometimes she doesn't. And then she demands I go out and work and get even more money. This is financial extreme cruelty. I mean, I'm not going to say that from a legal perspective, but these are examples of what can amount to financial extreme cruelty. So, you know, your declaration needs to be written in a very effective way. We typically try to stay 5 pages or less, sometimes 6 pages. Really long ones, we might get into 8 if you've experienced a lot of extreme cruelty and we want to hit all of it, or a lot of battery and we want to touch on all of it. But the declaration, you have to keep in mind that your reader is a USCIS officer who reads dozens of these every single day. They're very tired. They need to be captivated by the story that your declaration is telling. And most importantly, it needs to be crystal clear that you've experienced battery or extreme cruelty and that you're a person of good moral character. So those things need, and the person who's doing it to you, I know I keep calling them the bad guy, air quote bad guy. We need to know what their status is, because lawful permanent resident children over the age of 21, they don't count. Unless they're a US citizen, they don't count. Like, their cruelty to you does not count for VAWA purposes. But a lawful permanent resident spouse, it counts. And sometimes people ask me, well, what if I can't prove my ex-spouse's immigration status? What, I can't prove that they're a US citizen. Don't worry. Just ask USCIS to look it up. They can do their own internal search and look up this person and make sure that they are actually a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident, particularly if they've naturalized. Okay. So what do I need to prove this? We almost always also include an evaluation from a psychologist or a licensed social worker who speaks with the immigrant about what this meant for them. Remember when I was talking about how to my mom, saying insults about Jesus would be extremely horrifying for her. It would be like torturing her. We would need some type of a report to show that when, you know, let's say that I was being the extremely cruel U.S. citizen daughter in this scenario, and I would purposely say negative things about Jesus to my mom, knowing that it was killing her. We would need a psychologist or a social worker or someone who has a mental health background, you know, and is certified, licensed, something like that, to explain why these particular things really wounded my mom. Because remember, if you had said the same thing to me in my example from earlier, you say the exact same words, horrible, horrible things about Jesus to me, and it wouldn't have bothered me as much because it's not something that I'm like extremely sensitive to. It's something my mom is. So I hope that that helps explain not only kind of like the subjective nature of extreme cruelty. I'm not saying anything bad about Jesus to anybody. I'm just using that as an example because for real, my mom would be very bothered if you were to say anything negative about her Lord and Savior. So that's my mom. That's her jam. A declaration is important, is a must. You got to have it. And it's not actually required, but in my experience with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these cases, you need a declaration to explain and give context to what happened. If you have photos or text messages or anything like that, that you can take a screenshot of, or if you happen to have them, those are helpful as well. My friend, I'm so glad you joined me today. If you have a friend or family member who may need some immigration law guidance or even just day-to-day encouragement, please send them a text or email or a DM on social media and say, hey, I think this podcast is going to help you. I sure wish someone had given me the tips I'm sharing here years and years ago when I was starting out as an immigration lawyer. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Adios.